this is an encore broadcast of Streams in the Desert Live.
I believe that we are living in the days John wrote about. The end times are upon us, and of that there is no doubt. Get your mind out of the world, take your Bible off the shelf. Read the book of Revelations for yourself.
Welcome to Streams in the Desert Live, an interactive prophetic talk show with pastor, evangelist, and prophetic teacher, Dana Bohansky, senior pastor of Streams in the Desert Ministries and House Church, where we look at the headlines of our daily news in light of Bible prophecy and give you, the listener, an opportunity to call in to ask questions and share information regarding the signs of the times. This ministry is dedicated to the preaching and teaching of the unadulterated word of the one and only true and living God under the power and anointing of God's Holy Ghost. Streams in the Desert Live is an expansion of Streams in the Desert Ministries. Now, here's your host, Pastor Dana.
Shalom and blessings in the name of the Lord Jesus. This is Pastor Dana, and I once again would like to thank you for joining me today, April 16th, 2014, for the Streams in the Desert Live Internet Radio Broadcast, coming to you live from the beautiful and breathtaking studios of DoubleWideNetwork.com, where we look at the headlines of our daily news in light of Bible prophecy. Today's topic title is The Passing Over of Jesus. But before we get started, let us pray. Father God, we just humbly come before your throne this day. We thank you for this time of fun and fellowship of on the airwaves today, Lord. We ask that you would move in a great and mighty way and open the eyes and ears and hearts of your people to bring to them today that which you have prepared for such a time as this, Lord. We ask, Lord, that they would feel the power and anointing of your Holy Spirit upon every word that is spoken here today, Lord, for it is for your glory. We give you glory and honor and praise, and we ask it all in the precious and holy name of the Lord and only Savior of all mankind, who is Jesus Christ. And with that said, my friends, greetings to all. Once again, thank you, wherever you are in the world, for joining me today, your host, Pastor Dana, for another thought-provoking episode of Streams in the Desert Live. As we delve into the program today, let us not forget, in light of the fact that this coming Sunday is for the true Bible-believing, well-seasoned, and informed Christian, not the celebration of Easter, which is a pagan festival in remembrance of the pagan goddess Ishtar, but is rather the celebration of the Resurrection Day of the one and only true Savior of all mankind, who is at the same time the one and only begotten Son of the one and only true and living God, Creator of heaven, earth, and Israel, of whose name is Jesus Christ. Today, my friends, we'll be laying the timeline for the preparation and celebration of God's appointed feast of Passover and the Feast of Unleavened Bread. With that said, my friends, this feast, which actually began this year in Israel, this past Monday night at sundown, April 14th, 2014, or as it is seen on the Hebrew calendar, the 14th day of Nisan in the year 5774. Now, my friends, let us go back for a moment to a time each and every year prior and up to the time that Jesus went to the cross at Calvary, where a week-long time of preparation took place to prepare for the soon-coming celebration of the Passover and Feast of Unleavened Bread that began each year on the 10th day of Nisan, of which would have in the actual year of the resurrection been on a Sunday, according to the Bible, and for that reason is known today as Palm Sunday. We as well know by way of that which was captured in the Word of God that it was the day of Jesus' triumphant entry into the city of Jerusalem on a colt to fulfill the surrendering of his life, which was the very purpose for which he had stepped out of eternity into the present to fulfill by taking our place on the cross of Calvary to become the final sin offering and Lamb of God, to ever be required by God for the forgiveness and covering of the sins of all mankind once and for all. The 10th day of Nisan was biblically the day of the choosing of the Passover Lamb. It is the very reason that Jesus is called the Lamb of God. In Luke chapter 19, verse 28, regarding the colt, it says of Jesus, "And when he had thus spoken, he went before ascending up to Jerusalem. And it came to pass, when he was come nigh to Bethpage and Bethany, at the mount called the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples, saying, Go ye into the village over against you, in the which you enter, ye shall find a colt, tied whereon yet never man sat. Loose him and bring him hither. And if any man asks you, Why do ye loose him? Thus shall ye say unto him, Because the Lord has need of him. And they that were sent went on their way, and found even as he had said unto them. And as they were loosening the colt, the owners thereof said unto them, Why loose ye the colt? They said, The Lord has need of him. And they brought him to Jesus, and they cast their garments upon the colt, and they set Jesus thereon. And as he went, they spread their clothes in the way. And when he was come nigh, even now at the descent of the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of the disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works that they had seen, saying, Blessed be the King that cometh in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest. And some of the Pharisees from among the multitude said unto him, Master, rebuke thy disciples. And he said, answering and said unto them, I tell you that if these should hold their peace, the stones would immediately cry out. My friends, God has an appointed time for all things. In Exodus chapter 12, beginning at verse 1, regarding the 10th day of Nisan, it is said, And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, This month shall be unto you the beginning of months, and it shall be the first month of the year to you. Speak ye unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, In the 10th day of this month they shall take to them every man a lamb, according to the house of their father, and a lamb for a house. And if the household be too small for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next unto his house take it according to the number of the souls. Every man according to his eating shall make your count for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. Ye shall take it out from this sheep or the goats. Which now, my friends, brings us to Wednesday, the 13th day of Nisan, when Jesus eats the Passover dinner, mind you, a day earlier than it should be eaten with his disciples, and is better known as the Last Supper. Jesus has to eat the Passover dinner with the disciples on the evening of the 13th day of Nisan because in Exodus, God had already laid out the pattern for the Passover preparation, and Jesus, as God's Passover lamb, had to follow the same design. Therefore, he, Jesus, was chosen publicly on the 10th day of Nisan, which there again is commonly known as Palm Sunday, so that the world at large would see that he was chosen of God to be the Passover lamb or the sin offering for all mankind. So the events that began on the 13th day of Nisan continue to follow the perfect plan of fulfilling the manifestation of the Passover that God had so long ago set in motion. In Luke chapter 22, beginning at verse 1, we read, Now the feast of unleavened bread drew nigh, which is called the Passover. And the chief priest and scribes sought how they might kill him in regards to Jesus, for they feared the people. Then entered Satan into Judas, surnamed Iscariot, being of the number of the 12, and he went his way and communed with the chief priests and captains how he might betray him unto them. And they were glad and coveted to him to give money. And he promised and sought opportunity to betray him unto them in the absence of the multitude. Then came the day of unleavened bread, when the Passover must be killed. And he, Jesus, sent Peter and John, saying, "Go and prepare the Passover, that we may eat." And they said unto him, "Where wilt thou that we prepare?" And he said unto them, "Behold, when ye are entered into the city, there shall be a man meet you bearing a pitcher of water. Follow him into the house where he entereth in, and ye shall say to the good man of the house, 'The master said unto thee, where is the guest chamber where I shall eat the Passover with my disciples?' And he shall show you a large upper room furnished. There make ready," Jesus said. And they went and found as he had said unto them, and they made ready the Passover. And when the hour was come, he sat down and the 12 apostles with him. And he said unto them, "With desire I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I say unto you, I will not any more eat thereof until it be fulfilled in the kingdom of God." And he took the cup and gave thanks, and he said this, "Divide it among yourselves. For I say unto you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God shall come." And he took bread and gave thanks and brake it and gave unto them, saying, "This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." Therefore, my friends, this is where Jesus first instituted the partaking of the Lord's Supper, or communion, as some call it. Its purpose is for us as his children to remember his death till he comes again to receive us up into heaven, so that where he is, there we may be also with him forevermore. Now, on the evening of Wednesday, the 13th day of Nisan, at the very hour that Jesus and his disciples ate the Passover dinner, they were entering into the literal day of the Passover day of preparation, which in that year was Thursday, the 14th day of Nisan. In Exodus chapter 12, beginning at verse 6, the Lord God speaks of the Passover lamb by way of Moses when it is said, "And ye shall keep it until the 14th day of the same month." My friends, this is in regard to the little lamb that was chosen by each family on the 10th day of Nisan to be the Passover lamb for that household. In other words, the sacrifice or yearly sin offering for the children of Israel. Scripture continues by saying, "And the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. And they shall take of the blood and strike it on the two side posts and on the upper door post of the houses wherein they shall eat it. And they shall eat the flesh in the night, roast with fire and unleavened bread, and with bitter herbs they shall eat it." My friends, the just mentioned bitter herbs and the eating of bitter herbs was ordained of God to be a remembrance of when the Lord God brought the children of Israel out of Egypt, and the eating of the unleavened bread was as well to be a reminder and a symbol of putting away sin out of one's life. In verse 9, the commandment of God concerning the eating of the Passover dinner continued when it is said, "Eat not of it raw or soddened in water at all, but roast with fire his head, his legs, and the pertinence thereof. And ye shall let nothing of it remain until the morning. And the which remains of it until the morning ye shall burn with fire. And thus ye shall eat it, with your loins girded and your feet shod. with your shoes and your staff in your hand, and ye shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. For I, God said, will pass through the land of Egypt this night, and will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and against all the gods of Egypt will I execute judgment. I am the Lord. And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where ye are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you. When I smite the land of Egypt, or the land of sin, my friends, Egypt is synonymous with the word sin, and it is a metaphor for the word sin. And this day shall be unto you for a memorial, and ye shall keep it a feast to the Lord throughout your generations. Ye shall keep it a feast by ordinance forever. Now, my friends, we know that when Jesus ate the Passover dinner with his disciples on the evening of the 13th day of Nisan, in all actuality, at sundown on the 13th, it was the beginning of the 14th day of Nisan, which was the preparation day for the celebration of the Passover dinner, which would be eaten at sundown on the 14th day of Nisan, where it would as well become the first day of the celebration of the Feast of Unleavened Bread and the breaking of the new day, which would be the 15th day of Nisan. We know at the time that Jesus ate what is commonly called the Last Supper or the Passover meal with his disciples on the 13th day of Nisan, Judas left the table to put in motion that which had been ordained by the hand of God from before the foundation of this world was ever laid. Then we find that the soldiers were directed to seek Jesus out in the garden and apprehend him there, to stand before the Jewish leaders, in which, in return, would be handed over to Pilate, who found no fault in Jesus. But when he, Pilate, gave the angry Jews the chance to set Jesus free, they said, "Crucify him." So that they did. And my friends, it is not only the Jews that have crucified Jesus. It is every person who's ever breathed and walked upon this earth who has crucified Jesus until they come into a personal relationship with him. This fulfilled the purpose of the Lamb of God on the exact day and hour that God's model for the sacrificing of the Passover lamb or sin offering was to be carried out, which was the 14th day of Nisan. For it is said in Luke chapter 23, beginning at verse 44, "And it was about the sixth hour, or 12 noon, my friends, and there was a darkness over all the earth until the ninth hour, 3 p.m., which is when the Passover lamb in reality is sacrificed, being done just after the daily sacrifice. Verse 45 states, "And the sun was darkened, and the veil of the temple was rent in the midst," meaning ripped completely in half, my friends. It was God's sign to man that they no longer had to go through anyone upon the face of the earth to reach him. We could go to the Lord through prayer, each and every one of us, on our own. "And when Jesus had cried out with a loud voice, he said, 'Father, unto thy hands I commend my spirit.' And having said thus, he gave up the ghost. Now when the centurion saw what was done, he glorified God, saying, 'Certainly this was a righteous man.' And all the people that came together to that sight, beholding the things which were done, smote their breast and returned, and all his acquaintances and the women that had followed him from Galilee stood afar off, beholding these things. And behold, there was a man named Joseph, a counselor, and he was a good man and a just. The same had not consented to the counsel and deed of them. He was of Arimathea, a city of the Jews, who also himself waited for the kingdom of God. This man went unto Pilate and begged the body of Jesus, and he took it down and wrapped it in linen and laid it in a sepulchre. that was hewn in stone, wherein never man before was laid. And that day was the preparation, says the word of God, and the Sabbath drew on, meaning that it was now just before the evening of Thursday, the 14th day of Nisan, and the new day of Friday, the 15th day of Nisan, would soon begin with the eating of the Passover dinner, along with the celebration of the first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread, of which both would begin at sundown and last 7 days. Continuing on in verse 55, it is said that, and the women also, which came with him from Galilee, followed after and beheld the sepulchre and how his body was laid. They returned and prepared spices and ointments and rested the Sabbath day according to the commandment. As I have just stated, we have now come to the evening, which was a Thursday, the 14th day of Nisan, and at the very hour that the Jews began to eat the Passover dinner or Seder and celebrate the first day of the 7 day feast of unleavened bread, the new day surely had begun, which was Friday, the 15th day of Nisan. Here's how it's stated in the Word of God. In Exodus chapter 12, beginning at verse 15, it is said that 7 days shall ye eat unleavened bread, even the first day, which is the day of Passover. Ye shall put away leaven out of your home, out of your houses. For whosoever eateth leavened bread from the first day until the seventh day, that soul shall be cut off from Israel. And in the first day there shall be a holy convocation. And in the seventh day there shall be a holy convocation. The word convocation, my friends, to us actors is very familiar, because the word means rehearsal. And in the first day there shall be a holy convocation, and in the seventh day there shall be a holy convocation to you. No manner of work shall be done, only that a man may eat, may you do. And ye shall observe the feast of unleavened bread, for in this selfsame day I have brought your armies out of the land of Egypt, the Lord God said at the first Passover at the time of Moses, my friends. Therefore shall ye observe this day in your generations by ordinance forever. In the first month, on the 14th day of the month at even, ye shall eat unleavened bread until the 1 20th day of the month every year. 7 days shall there be no leaven found in your houses, for whosoever eateth that which is leaven, even that soul shall be cut off from the congregation of Israel, whether he be a stranger or born in the land. Ye shall eat nothing leavened in all your habitations, shall ye eat unleavened bread. Then Moses called for all the elders of Israel, and said unto them, draw out and take ye a lamb according to your families, and kill it, and kill the Passover. And ye shall take a bunch of hyssop, and dip it in the blood that is in the basin, and strike it on the lintel and on the two posts with the blood that is in the basin, and none of you shall go out at the door of his house until the morning. For the Lord will pass through to smite the Egyptians, and when he seeth the blood upon the lintel and on the two side posts, the Lord will pass over the door, and will not suffer the destroyer to come in unto you and your household to smite you. And ye shall observe this thing for an ordinance, three to thee and thy sons forever. And it shall come to pass, when ye be come into the land which the Lord will give you, according to him that has promised, that ye shall keep this service. And it shall come to pass, when your children shall say unto you, what mean you by this service? Then ye shall say, it is the sacrifice or surrender of the Lord's Passover, who passed over the houses of the children of Israel in Egypt, when he smote the Egyptians and delivered our houses. And the people bowed their heads and worshipped. And with that said, my friends, We will return momentarily for the victorious climax of the passing over of Jesus right after this break.
Go ahead, drive the nails in my hands, laugh at me where you stand. Go ahead and say,
those are awesome words. Praise the Lord. Jesus lives. God's not dead, my friends. If you haven't seen that movie, you need to see it. I mean, praise the Lord. Now, on to the reason why the Marys never returned to the tomb of Jesus until the first day of the week, as noted in the Bible, which can be found in Luke chapter 24, beginning at verse 1, where it is said, "Now upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came into the sepulcher, bringing the spices which they had prepared, and certain others with them." FYI, my friends, this day, which was Sunday, is not only unto us the first day of the week, but it is to the Jew as well in marking the first day of their work week. And they found the stone rolled away from the sepulchre, and they entered in and found not the body of the Lord Jesus. And it came to pass, as they were much perplexed thereabout, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments, and said, and as they were afraid, and bowing their heads and their faces to the earth, they said unto them, why seek ye the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee, saying, the Son of Man must be delivered unto the hands of sinful men and crucified, and the third day rise again. So, my friends, here we are at the climax of this whole account regarding the Passover, passing over of Jesus, who was, is, and always will be the Lamb of God, who laid down his life, and God raised him up again to bring all mankind a way of escape from their sins and the soon coming wrath of God, which is set in reserve against all who sin willfully. By being the final and Passover lamb the world would ever need to have. By being the final Passover lamb that would ever need to be slain and to be the only Savior of all mankind, that is what Jesus came for, my friends. Many people throughout the years have tried to decide just when Jesus was crucified and how you get 3 days and three nights out of him being crucified on Friday, as in Good Friday. Well, my friends, that's because he wasn't crucified on Friday. With God, there is no error. Everything has its appointed time. So let us now recap the events of the week leading up to the resurrection day of the only Savior of all mankind in few but powerful words. This week began with Palm Sunday, the 10th day of Nisan, where Jesus was presented as the final Passover lamb, the Lamb of God, unbeknownst to the world at large. For many people, believers and unbelievers alike, came to Jerusalem at the time of Passover each year. Now move ahead to the Last Supper. Wednesday, the 13th day of Nisan, begins with Jesus sending the disciples out to get things ready for that evening, so that he could celebrate his last Passover meal with his disciples until he celebrates it with us all in the eternal kingdom of God, which is yet to come. Then from the table of Jesus' Last Supper, Judas is sent to set in motion the wheels that would turn into the betrayal and crucifixion of the only Savior of all mankind, who is Jesus Christ, of which said events would begin in the late hours of Wednesday night and on into the early morning hours of Thursday, the 14th day of Nisan, when Jesus would then be tried and crucified in the third hour of the day, as it is thusly recorded in Mark chapter 15, verse 25. And it was the third hour, and they crucified him. Continuing on with the timeline, we now come to Thursday, the 14th day of Nisan, which is the day of preparation, such as it always has been. Not only for the Passover meal, but for the preparation of the simultaneous first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread, for they both would begin at sundown on that day. Now here's a mystery, my friends. In that particular year, Thursday, the 14th day of Nisan, was as well the preparation day for the weekly Sabbath. Since sundown would mark the 15th day of Nisan and time for the eating of the Passover meal, and would at the same time be the first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread, in which there is to be no work done except to eat. Therefore, Friday being the usual day of preparation that is normally set aside each week to prepare for the weekly Sabbath would in this case have to have been rolled into the preparation day of the Passover meal and that of the Feast of Unleavened Bread on Thursday, the 14th day of Nisan. at which time our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ was also being prepared to pass over. As he hung on the cross of Calvary that Thursday, the 14th day of Nisan, until the ninth hour, which is to say 3 p.m., and is traditionally the time of the killing of the regular daily sacrifice, and due to the fact that it was as well the time of preparation for the Passover meal, would soon thereafter be the time of the slaying of the yearly Passover lamb, of which I might add, since Jesus went to the cross, there has never been another lamb that has ever been required by God as a sacrifice since. My friends, with that said, we need to take time to pause to remember that this day, the 14th day of Nisan, would go down in the annals of biblical and world history as being the day that he, Jesus Christ, passed over as the final sin offering and Lamb of God to become the, for once and for all, the final blood covering for the sins of all mankind. That is, of all mankind who will receive the gift of salvation, deliverance, and healing that was freely given at that time and for all times, and was made possible by God through the precious and holy shed blood, beaten, bruised, broken, and striped body of his one and only begotten Son, who is none other than Jesus Christ, the only Savior of all mankind. In further unraveling of the mystery, Friday the 15th and Saturday the 16th of Nisan in the year that Jesus went to the cross were both considered days of Sabbath, in other words, days of rest. The first being Friday the 15th day of Nisan, which is the first day of the celebration of the Feast of Unleavened Bread, and Saturday the 16th day of Nisan, which is the perpetual day of rest ordained by God in the beginning to be observed each and every week throughout the year. Then comes Sunday, the 17th day of Nisan, which is Resurrection Sunday, and is the day that our Lord and only Savior Jesus Christ became the first fruits to rise from the dead, thus defeating the plan of Satan. When he, Jesus, took the keys to death and hell and brought forth from the bowels of the earth all who God had foreordained to receive Jesus Christ as the Lamb of God, which came to take away the sins of the world. As it is written in John chapter 1, verse 29, John the beloved of Jesus wrote of John the Baptist, saying, "The next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him, and said, Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world." With that said, let us move on to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 20, where Paul states in verse 20, "But now is Christ risen from the dead, and become the firstfruits of them that slept. For since by man came death, by man came also resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. But every man in his order, Christ the first fruit, after that they that are Christ's at his coming." And my friends, if you're waiting for the second coming, you will have missed the Lord coming, because he's coming in the rapture first. At his second coming, we are coming with him. So don't get confused and wait for that, because it will be way past too late to be received of the Lord. He will be coming then to destroy that which is upon the face of this earth at that time to set up his millennial kingdom. In Revelation chapter 1, verse 18, Jesus said, "I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and death." My friends, to sum it up, Jesus was therefore in the tomb Thursday, 3 to 6 p.m., Thursday night, 6 p.m. to 6 a.m., Friday day, 6 a.m. to 6 p.m., Friday night, 6 p.m. to 6 a.m., Saturday day, 6 a.m. to 6 p.m., Saturday night, 6 p.m. until he rose in the early morning hours of Sunday, the 17th day of Nisan, on the third day, as it is put in the Word of God, thus clearing up, my friends, how Jesus' body was in the tomb 3 days and three nights, as stated in the Word of God, which can be found in Matthew chapter 12, verse 40. Jesus himself speaking said, "For as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth." Jesus is well said in Matthew chapter 20, beginning at verse 18, "Behold, we go up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man shall be betrayed unto the chief priests and unto the scribes, and they shall condemn him to death, and shall deliver him to the Gentiles to mock and to scourge and to crucify him." Did you hear what it just said, my friends? It said, "And shall be delivered to the Gentiles to mock, to scourge, and to crucify him." My friends, the word Gentiles actually translates to the nations. So it's every nation represented on earth that crucified Jesus, not just the Jews. What's more, in Mark chapter 8, verse 31, speaking of Jesus, it is said, "And he began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected of the elders and of the chief priests and scribes and be killed, and after 3 days rise again." One last little note to clarify that it truly was the night of the 13th day of Nisan that Jesus ate his last earthly Passover meal with his disciples is noted in John chapter 18, verse 27. My friends, this is why we need to know God's word, know it well, and know it correctly for ourselves. John chapter 18, beginning at verse 27, says, "Peter then denied again, and immediately the cock crew. Then led they Jesus from Caiaphas unto the hall of judgment." There's a mystery here, my friends. "It was early, and they themselves went not into the judgment hall," speaking of the disciples, my friends, "lest they should be defiled, but that they might eat the Passover." For Passover would come the evening after Jesus was in the tomb. That's why he ate it a day earlier with his disciples, known as the Last Supper, because when the real Passover, that is the yearly Passover, would be eaten, and the beginning of unleavened bread began, Jesus would be in the tomb as the Passover lamb, my friends. They could not go into the hall of judgment, or they would be defiled and then unable to go and eat the Passover meal that evening. So, my friends, if you are a well-seasoned, informed, Bible-believing Christian, or even a babe in Christ, after the hearing of this biblical account of the events leading up to the time of the crucifixion, death, burial, and resurrection of the only Savior of all mankind, who is Jesus Christ, of all which took place by no accident at the time of the celebration of Passover and the Feast of Unleavened Bread, should think twice before calling this most holy day of holy days, which is the resurrection day of the Lord, Master, and only Savior of all mankind, who is none other than Jesus Christ, by the name of Easter, which is a name and celebration given to pagan goddess Ishtar. For the only time this word was ever used in the Bible is used to mark a pagan celebration, as it is seen in Acts chapter 12, beginning at verse 1, where it is said, Now about that time, Herod the king stretched forth his hands to vex certain of the church, and he killed James, the brother of John, with the sword. And because he saw that it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to take Peter also. And in parentheses, my friends, it says, "Then were the days of unleavened bread," meaning that it was happening all at the time of Passover. And when he had apprehended him, he put him in prison and delivered him to four squadrons of soldiers to keep him, intending after Easter to bring him forth to the people. My friends, a lot of people have a confusion in this because they think that means the time of Passover or the Resurrection Day. If you will go to history and you will look it up, the time of the celebration of Ishtar is Easter, in other words, is celebrated simultaneously with Resurrection Day and Passover. And Herod would have no audience if he didn't wait until the time of Passover was done, if he was counting on the Jews to also want to see Peter killed. So therefore, as the pagan celebration of Ishtar and Passover were simultaneously celebrated, that, my friend, is why, and the only reason why, he had to wait until Easter was over. And it was in reference to a pagan holiday and not the Passover, because the Passover was pointed out as well. My friends, just before we go to prayer today, I would like to share some scripture with you. In John chapter 3, verses 16 through 18, Jesus, speaking himself, said this. And this is the reason, my friends, that Jesus came to buy us back from the plan of Satan, if we so choose to come and have a personal relationship with him. In John 3, 16 through 18, it says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved." The reason it says might be saved, my friends, is because you have a free will, and it is your choice as to whether you spend your eternity walking the streets of gold with the Lord Jesus Christ or burning in torment in the lake of fire with Satan, his false prophet, the Antichrist, and all who mock God and who have rejected his Passover lamb, who is Jesus Christ. Verse 18 says, "He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already." So, my friends, if you don't believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you want to make your life, eternal life in the lake of fire, which is no life at all, my friends, then just keep rejecting the Lord Jesus Christ. It's your choice. But for those who do receive the Lord Jesus Christ and live a life that is becoming of a Christian, it says, "He that believeth on him," who is Jesus Christ, my friends, "is not condemned. But he that believeth not is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God." The name of the only begotten Son of God, my friends, is Jesus Christ. God is a title. His name is Jesus Christ. In John chapter 14, verse 6, Jesus said unto Thomas, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me." In Revelation chapter 3, verse 20, the Lord Jesus Christ is now giving an invitation here. My friends, today, if you've never asked the Lord Jesus Christ to be your way of escape for the wrath of God that is soon to be poured out upon the face of this earth, then today is your day. And my friends, all of those of you who are Christians that are living like H-E double toothpicks, you need to rededicate your life. You need to quit mocking God. You need to quit using foul language. You need to get your life straight, because you are not representing the Lord as you say you are. Revelation chapter 3, verse 20, Jesus said, "Behold, I stand at the door." That's the door of your heart, my friends. "And knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him, and he with me. To him that overcometh will I," Jesus said, "grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne." My friends, the word throne here is not the usual word. It's not the seat of royalty. In this case, let's read it again, and we'll insert the word that throne is really being meaning here. "To him that overcome," Jesus said, "I will grant to sit with me in my throne," or my power. My friends, a throne is a place of power. To him that overcometh, I will grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I, Jesus said, overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne or power, my friends. There are many mysteries in the Word of God. This is why you need to know God's Word, know it well and know it correctly, my friends, because there will be a test, and the end result will either be eternal life or damnation in the lake of fire. He that has an ear, the Lord Jesus said, that would be a spiritual ear, my friends, to hear the Lord, hear the small still voice of the Holy Spirit speaking to you. Let him hear what the Spirit, with a capital S in the sentence, says, say unto the church. Jesus said, he that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. My friends, the Lord Jesus is saying, listen for the small, still voice of the Holy Spirit. And if you do not hear the small, still voice of the Holy Spirit, my friends, I would be very concerned, because the fact is that you can cross the line with the Lord God, and you can be cut off for eternity even before you leave this earth. And don't think that you can't, because the Lord can and will if you keep pushing. Revelation chapter 20, for those people who keep pushing all the way to the end and find themselves on the wrong side of eternal life and headed for the lake of fire. Revelation chapter 20, verse 11 says, John the Revelator, seeing this vision, even before it has come to pass, and it will, my friends, said, I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. My friends, just make note of this. Your works, aside from a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, are as filthy rags to God, and that comes straight from his word. So if you want to have your good works count, it starts by having a personal relationship with his one and only begotten Son, who is Jesus Christ, in good standing and becoming of a Christian. My friends, you will also notice that it says the books were open and that another book is open. The books with an S on it are the volumes and volumes and volumes of books that are being written with the names of those who are rejecting the Lord Jesus Christ and one day have and will leave this earth without a blood covering way of escape through Jesus Christ for their sins, and will find themselves in the end at the day of judgment with God being cast into the lake of fire. And the sea gave up the dead which were in them, which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. My friends, the second death is to die physically in this life and then have eternal life with the Lord Jesus Christ to be ripped from you as well, and have nothing but torment and anguish and gnashing of teeth for all eternity in the lake of fire as you look up into the halls of heaven, seeing all those who made it and all those who tried to tell you about the fact that you needed a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ in a good standing, but you refused to listen to, my friends. It will be part of your torment for all eternity. Not my words, my friends, but the words of the Lord God. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. The second death, my friends, is to be cast into the lake of fire with Satan, his false prophet, the Antichrist, and all, there again, who reject the Lord Jesus Christ in this life. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life, the one book, my friends, the book of life, and it's actually called the Lamb's Book of Life in another place in the Bible. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. My friends, there is the conclusion as to where you will end up if you do not have the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior when you leave this world. And my friend, we never know when we're leaving. We never know. We may not be here in the next minute. And the Lord Jesus Christ can return in the rapture, too. That's another story for another day, and it's on the way. My friends, there is a road map to salvation, and it is written in Romans chapter 10, verses 9 through 13, penned by the Apostle Paul from the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit. The words flowed onto the page, and here's what they came out to be. That if thou or you shall confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shall believe in thine heart that God raised him from the dead, thou or you shall be saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness. And I like to say, for with the heart man believes unto right living in Jesus Christ. And with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. That's what the Word of God says. And with the mouth confession is made unto salvation, or your way of escape through the blood of Jesus Christ and the wrath of God that is soon to be poured out upon this earth, my friends. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him should not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. My friends, if you don't call upon the name of the Lord, he's not going to rescue you. It is your choice. If you call on him, he will be there. But my friends, don't only call on him when your energy has run out during the week and your purple light at the belly button isn't going to work anymore. Call on him, dedicate your life to him, surrender your life to him, walk as upright before him as becoming a Christian, and do the things that the Bible says to do in living our lives. Finally, it says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. My friends, is that you? Do you need to be saved? If you hear that small, still voice running over in the background as you're yelling and screaming at me because you're convicted about what I'm saying and you're mad at me, well, you know what? Don't be mad at me. I am only the messenger. What do they say? Don't shoot the messenger. You can tell it to God on Judgment Day. With that said, my friends, let us pray. Today, come before the Lord with a broken and contrite heart and spirit, for the Lord knows the end from the beginning. In Isaiah chapter 46:10, he says, I am the God that knows the end from the beginning. He knows your heart right now. He knows where you're at. He knows your struggles. He's here for you. The devil is putting every obstacle in your way, making it comfortable for you to stay in sin, so that on the last day, my friends, you will have your name written forever, indelibly, in the books that were opened, and find yourself cast into the lake of fire. Do not let that happen to you, my friends, and do not let it happen to your loved ones and your family and your other friends, because you are an example. And if you're taking them to the lake of fire, you're going to regret it. With that said, let us pray. We are praying the prayer of repentance, which is a prayer that has no specific words. I'm only going to pray that which the Lord brings before my spirit right now. And if you will pray these words out loud with me with a broken and contrite heart before the Lord, he will hear your prayer. It has nothing to do with me. It's about a union between you and him through a prayer, and he's going to open the door for you and come into your heart. With that said, let us pray. Pray this with me out loud, my friends. Dear Lord God, I humbly come before your throne this day, and I bow down. Lord God, I thank you for the gift of the Lord Jesus Christ as the Passover lamb for all mankind and for me, Lord, if I was the only person on the face of the earth to be saved. Lord Jesus, I thank you for coming and laying down your life for me, and that I was on your mind as you laid down your life upon the cross of Calvary. Lord Jesus, right now I ask that you would forgive me of my sins and that you would wash me as white as snow and bring me into a place that I would begin to learn God's word and know it well and know it correctly, that I may be ready, watching, and waiting for your imminent return in the rapture. Dear Lord Jesus, thank you for saving my soul this day. Holy Spirit, I ask that you would walk with me and guide me and lead me into all truth and righteousness and bring all things to my remembrance. And yes, please teach me to know God's word, know it well, and know it correctly for myself, that I may be ready, watching, waiting for the imminent return of the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord Jesus, thank you for receiving me as your child. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. With that said, my friends, we finally come to the part of the show where it's time for me to say, it's a wrap. With that said, thank you for once again for joining me today for the Streams in the Desert Live internet radio broadcast here on the Double Wide Network. Folks, don't forget to visit streamsaz.org daily on the web for updates on prophetic news from around the world. And stay connected with me via the social media and Twitter. I always say that every week. Twitter. By visiting the Streams in the Desert Live landing page at doublewidenetwork.com/streamsinthedesert. Folks, I'll be looking forward to receiving your greetings, prayer requests, praise reports, and I'm also very interested in your topic suggestions for upcoming shows. And if you would like to support the work of Streams in the Desert Live and Streams in the Desert Ministry, you may give your tax-deductible tithes and love offerings by way of our website, PayPal, at streamsaz.org, or by sending checks or money orders made payable to Streams in the Desert Ministries to our mailing address at 7558 West Thunderbird Road, Suite 1-147, Peoria, Arizona, 85345. Remember, my friends, your gift is tax deductible, and this is Pastor Dana saying shalom and blessings to you all in the mighty name of Jesus, Yeshua HaMashiach, my Lord, Master, Savior, and soon coming King and Messiah, yours too, I hope. And until we meet again next Wednesday at 4 p.m. for Streams in the Desert Live internet radio broadcast, may the Lord bless thee and keep thee. May the Lord make his face to shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Until we meet again, happy Passover and Resurrection Day. Shalom, shalom to you all. This is Pastor Dana signing off.
I believe that we are living in the days John wrote about. The end times are upon us, and of that there is no doubt. Get your mind out of the world, take your Bible off the shelf, read the book of Revelations for yourself.
Join Streams in the Desert Live each Wednesday at 4 p.m. on Star Worldwide Networks, where your host, Pastor Dana, will examine the headlines of our daily news in light of Bible prophecy. Streams in the Desert Live thanks you for listening, for your phone calls, emails, and as always, your generous love offerings in support of this internet radio broadcast. You may also visit or email Streams in the Desert Ministries, home of Streams in the Desert Live, by way of the website or Facebook page, which can be easily found on the StarWorldwideNetworks.com Streams in the Desert landing page. Until next week, Streams in the Desert Live bids you all much love in Jesus, and that the peace of the Lord Jesus be unto you all now and always. And remember, if you're not serving Jesus now, what makes you think you'll be doing it later in heaven?